Matthew 26. Our text for this Bible study will be verses 33 to 35. But let's begin reading in verse 31. Matthew 26, verse 31, it says, "Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples." Did they predict their future correctly or not? No, they did not. We are going to very much have a Sunday school lesson this morning. This is something that God's people, all of us especially, ought to learn. Everyone needs to learn this, but God's people especially need to learn this. There is some wording that comes from a heart and an attitude that is very carnal, very fleshly, very prideful, and every person in this room, beginning with me, is prone to it. It's the two words, I will. That's just the natural way of the flesh. That's just the natural tendency of the flesh. To say I will or I will not is the same thing. That's the same thing either way. It's the statement and the belief of, I am a free moral agent to do what I will do. You've heard people say that. People believe that. You know, I'm a free moral agent to do whatever I want to do. It's the statement and the belief that I have the right and I have the ability to control my own life and run it however I want to run it. I reign over me. That's what people believe. I reign over me. I have the say in what happens to me. In the end, every person who says that and believes that will find out, just like the disciples did, that's not so. That is just not so. The only will that man has is a bound will to sin. That is the only will that man has. It's a bound will to sin against God. So the point of this Bible study is to teach us and to teach me. Those are words that we should really remove from our vocabulary. You know, I will do this. I am not going to do that. I am going to do that. I'm going to do that. That's a heart and a mindset that we should really just get rid of. We should completely get rid of that. No matter what takes place in our life, may God give us the ability to consider our Lord in the matter. That's the whole point of this. Whatever it is, may God teach us to consider our Lord in the matter. Go straight to the Lord in the matter. His will, His providence concerning us. Everything that we do or don't do. What am I going to do on this, not do on this? Lord, teach me to go immediately to your will and your providence concerning me in this matter. Turn me to you. Cause me to look to you. Cause me to wait on you in everything. Listen to Peter's wording here, and listen to his sincerity, listen to his love, but listen to his pride, and listen to his foolish arrogance and his self-righteousness. Verse 33, Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I. That's Old English. That's Old English wording. In current English, we say, I will. Peter said, I will never be offended. The Lord told him otherwise, and he corrected the Lord again, didn't he? Bless his heart. You know, we could really try to condemn Peter for such an arrogant statement like that. But the end of verse 35 says, all the disciples said that. And if you and I get honest, you know we say it too. We say it too. Yep, look around the room right here. Just look around the room. If anybody's staying, I'm staying. Hold on. Hold on. Yep, they may leave, but I'm not leaving Christ. I'll never leave Christ. Hold on. Pride comes before a fall. Always. Always. That's how it happened in the beginning. That's how the whole thing started. And that's how it happened and happens ever since. I read this to you recently. Let me read it again. Go with me to Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14. Verse 12, it says, How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? Verse 13 says, For. That means because. Thou hast said in thine heart, I will. He said that's the whole reason. It's because you said in your heart, I will. That is where the lie of free will started. The adversary thought he had a free will. And he lied to man and he convinced mankind that he had a free will and she had a free will. And it's not so. It is not so. There is only one who has a free will. And his name is Jesus Christ. There is only one who has a free will. And his name is Jesus Christ. People say, if that's the case, then why do I have the choice to choose good or evil? We don't have the choice to choose good or evil. All that we totally depraved sinners have the ability to choose is evil. That's it. Light came into this world, and the only thing that man had the ability to choose was darkness rather than light. That was it. Man could not come to Christ. Man would not come to Christ. The Lord said, they are all gone out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Well, I think I'm going to choose to do good. Sin. Well, I think I'm going to turn over a brand new leaf. Sin. Boy, I'm so glad I don't do the things I used to do. Sin. It's all sin. It's all sin. That all stems from this right here. Verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. Which is what people say. I know where I'm going. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I will ascend into heaven. He said, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. That's the end for free will. That is the end for free will. Turn with me over to Luke 18. Luke 18, verse 9. Our Lord spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Watch this. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased. It's not maybe, it's not might be, shall be abased. Peter and the rest of the disciples found that to be so exactly as the Lord said. He that exalteth himself, I will, shall be abased. Oh, but he that humbleth himself, our Lord said right here, shall be exalted. It's that way every single time. We would be so wise to learn that. We would be so wise to learn that from salvation. We know that so in salvation. Our Lord just gave us the illustration of that. Lord, I'm just a lowly, wretched sinner. Please, not me. You do it. Salvation. But from salvation to every circumstance in life, every single circumstance that comes our way through this life, our Lord said, he that humbles himself or herself shall be exalted. And our Lord is the great example of this. He is the great example. Look back at Matthew 26 with me. Verse 36 says, then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Not as I will. After Peter said what he did, that's what our Lord said. It's not as I will. He said, Father, it's not I will. It's as you will. As you will. It's not my will in this. I'm telling you, this brings the best outcome every time. It's not my will in this. It is your will in this. I bow to your will in everything. That's how it was in creation. It was your will. That's how it was in salvation. It was your will. And that's how it will be in every other remaining circumstance in this life. Your will. Not what I will do, what you have done. What you have already purposed to be done. We would be wise to truly, truly learn that and to really let that sink into our heart and then ultimately in our vocabulary, in our speech, because out of the heart, the mouth will speak. And these apostles, through this, they learned that lesson very well. It sank down deep into their hearts, and because of that, their mouths did speak. Look with me at James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verse 10, he said, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother, speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." Verse 15, he said, "For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live." If the Lord even wills for us to live. Before I say what I'm going to do, let me say, if God even keeps me alive and gives me another breath of air. "For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that." He said, "I'm telling you as one who was standing there with Peter and the rest of the disciples, saying, now, Lord, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'll tell you exactly how I'm going to handle this." Peter said, this is how we're going to do it. James said, "Yep, that's right. Yeah, I'm not doing that." He said, "Don't do that from experience. Don't do that." Verse 15, "For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." We're in His hands, living and abiding according to His will. And we would be wise to recognize that and to acknowledge to Him that we recognize that. As Nebuchadnezzar said, those who walk in pride, He is able to abase. And James said he still does that to this day. He still does that. Look at 1 Peter 5. Verse 5, he said, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time." Peter said, just like James did, humble yourselves. These men were speaking from experience. Humble yourselves. I can see Peter saying, "Oh, I wish I'd learned this sooner. I just wish I'd learned this so much sooner." Humble yourselves. Say with John the Baptist, "I must decrease." Does that ever, do you ever get a hold of that in moments where you're ready to win the argument? Does that ever get a hold of you? I think the best thing for me to do right now is decrease. I must decrease. Lord, let that not just roll off my tongue. Let it enter my heart. I must decrease. Give me the ability to decrease. Lord, if you humbled yourself all the way down to a man of no reputation, Lord, please let me see myself as a man of no reputation. Every time I see an opportunity to exalt myself and exalt my worth and exalt my opinion and exalt my glory, Lord, as you opened not your mouth, teach me to open not my mouth. Cause me to realize that I am what I am only by the grace of God, only by your grace. Verse 6, he said, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him. Had the disciples done that in that moment of our text, when the Lord told them that they were going to be offended and they were going to be scattered, had they cast their all on him, things would have gone differently for them. And honestly, that's the case for us. That is the case for us. These things were written for our learning. These things were allowed to fall out the way they did to teach all of us something. Whatever the situation may be, if we will say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Your way is not only best, it's the only way. It's not only the best way, it's the only way. I bow to it. I humble myself before you. Before my brethren, if the Lord would teach us to do that, things would go well for us. It would go well. Our Lord said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Lord, help us. Teach us. Teach us to do that. Amen. All right, you're dismissed.